This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Dan Hurley. The Great Mill Creek Valley, the only natural pass through the elevated plains surrounding Cincinnati, is the path of the prehistoric, pre-glacial Taze River and flowed through this part of North America. The aquifer that flows beneath the valley floor is the source of pure water that attracted breweries, machine tool plants, Ivorydale, and Wright Aeronautical, now GE Aviation, in the 1880s, transforming the valley into the region's industrial spine. But development led to pollution, not just from industrial sites, but also from residential developments, dumping waste through dozens of combined sewer overflows into the creek. And with development, the natural rhythms of flooding. During floods, the main stem of the Ohio River seeks its original path and backs up into the Mill Creek. That became intolerable, leading to the construction of a major dam and pouring of millions of yards of ugly concrete along the banks to get the water to the flow faster. In 1996, the environmental group American Rivers added the Mill Creek to the most endangered list. Fortunately, over the last 20 years, two organizations both diligently work to improve conditions along the most urban of urban streams, resulting in the Mill Creek being removed from the most endangered list. Those two organizations, Groundwork Cincinnati and the Mill Creek Watershed Council of Communities, officially merged on March the 2nd to form a new organization, the Mill Creek Alliance. I am joined today by Steve Johns, the chair of the Mill Creek Alliance and former chair of the Mill Creek Watershed Council of Communities. Dr. Patricia O'Connor is the vice chair of the new organization and the former chair of Groundwork Cincinnati Mill Creek. And Dave Schmidt, an environmental lawyer, the executive director of the new Mill Creek Alliance. If you'd like to join our conversation, please call us at 513-419-7100 or email talk@wvxu. We're also on Twitter and Facebook. Welcome, everybody.
Hey, thanks, Dan.
Really good. The Mill Creek is one of those features in our built environment and that people pass, they drive alongside, they drive over, but I think frequently lots of people don't pay any attention to. So it's good to have the people who do pay attention to it. And when we say that the conditions in the stream and the valley have improved enough to be taken off this most endangered list, what specifically has changed over the last couple of decades? Patricia?
Well, thank you. We have had two organizations working on the Mill Creek, and we have had people who have really done a wonderful job, tireless work, to correct some of the stream bed problems and some of the waste that flows into the Mill Creek, and to make the Mill Creek more usable by people who live here. You mentioned that people sort of don't see it, and there's no way to use it. And that's why we don't see it. So we've been working on that now for since the 1990s. And each little project adds up, and all the things that are happening upstream improve downstream, and all the improvements we've done downstream improve it even more. So we've had an accretion of people being very determined to make this better. And the result of that is that we can now see some appreciable differences in the quality of the water and the appearance of the environment in some of the places. We still have a lot of work to do.
So, Steve, what are some of the projects that you actually one or the other organization undertook, and then how did that try to change things?
Well, you know, and I think it's all about partnerships. I mean, we're a group that links people in, communities, MSD, EPA, all these different entities that have an interest in the Mill Creek, but they, you know, they have other things that they're got an eye on. So we're the group that can help bring attention and actually get those projects done. The one that I really love is up near Sharonville, up Twin Creeks Preserve, where we took what was an old industrial area and turned it into this massive wetland that soaks up floodplain waters during storms, helps bring nature to an area that is, like you say, almost all concrete around it, and is a now a place where we can put a canoe in up there. So it meets all those different elements that we're trying to get the Mill Creek to serve. Flood control, quality recreation for folks, and wildlife habitat, believe it or not.
Well, one thing to remind people of, this is a very long stream. This is 28 yes. miles, the main stem of it, not right. to mention other tributaries that flow into it. This covers, this drains a tremendous part of Hamilton County and really is critical. And if you only sort of see it as you pass, you may not realize both the length and the significance of it.
Yeah, we were joking right before we came on air that it's even up in Butler County and a little bit of Warren County, believe
exactly
it or
right.
not. So it is that thing where people don't understand it much at all, and that's why we're happy to be here to talk about it.
Yeah. Dave, the big question, why is this important? Why not just leave it the way it is? Okay, it's a, as Stan Hedin in his great book, The Mill Creek, An Unnatural History of an Urban Stream, which was done decades ago and sort of documents how we got to where the problem was when it got listed. Why not just leave it that way? What difference does it make if it's there's pollution there or this is not a stream that people find a way to get to easily or whatever? Why do this?
Wow, there's a lot of answers to that, Dan. You know, one simple answer is that left the way it was with tremendous amounts of pollution and being very prone to flash flooding, it impacts a huge number of people in the community. Many of the communities up and down the watershed suffer from flooding issues as a result of the runoff from all of the tributaries and all the impermeable surfaces. And some of our neighborhoods, particularly down here in the lower Mill Creek, have been disproportionately impacted both by the pollution and by the flooding. So that's one simple answer. But we, beyond solving some of the flooding issues, we want to take the next step. We want the stream to become an asset to the community, to become the gem that it once was. When Charles Dickens traveled through Cincinnati and up the Mill Creek Valley in the 1800s, he described it as this luxuriant, verdant land that was sort of the gem of the greater Cincinnati area. It's never going to become pristine again, but it is very quickly becoming a place where people want to gather again. We have developed bike trail along parts of the Mill Creek. People are canoeing. People are even fly fishing in the Mill Creek again. It's just amazing. It goes back to the question you asked Pat earlier about how has the stream improved. The number of fish and the biodiversity of fish and other invertebrates in the stream have improved dramatically. The bird life has come back full force. There are great blue herons there all the time now. We have one of only a couple of breeding populations of a bird called a black-crowned night heron that nests right there by Solway Park on Spring Grove Avenue. And for the first time in decades last summer, there was actually an osprey, a fish hawk, that was stationed at the Mill Creek right there by Solway, coming down and swooping down and grabbing fish.
All indications of the health of the creek, of
Absolutely.
The water,
That's
and
correct.
That there's all of these things that are there. And as you talked about, people are canoeing on it. I'm sitting here right now, people can't see me, in my Mill Creek Yacht Club t-shirt because I'm one of those people who has been out canoeing. And, you know, I can't not tell this story. Last spring, the last time I was out, at one of the low head dams that had gotten knocked down and they, you know, you had to go through, we got turned and got dumped. And I remember the basic safety instructions that if you get dumped in the Mill Creek and you think you might drown, stand up because it's pretty shallow.
Yes.
So I was saved. And, you know, it was there we were.
And you're still here today. You know, that's part of the old lore of the Mill Creek, right?
That once you're in,
right.
you start disintegrating.
That's right. Or you would have some crazy disease or something.
This was the part of the Mill Creek that went behind Ivorydale. And we had been on the creek in other sections, in the lower particularly, but I wanted to go behind Iverdale. I wanted to see what was back there. How did these two different organizations, Groundwork Cincinnati and Mill Creek Watershed Council of Communities, how were they different? And were they both trying to do the same thing? Or so consequently in the merger, you've got to sift things out? Or were they doing different things?
Actually, we were doing the same thing differently.
There we go. Wordsmith that right out.
That's good. If I could jump in on that one, you know, both had the same end goal in mind, to improve the watershed and to make it an asset into the communities of the watershed. But they were approaching it from different angles. The Mill Creek Watershed Council has focused over the years on what I would call hardscape projects, a lot of good engineering projects, stream bank restoration, flood control, stormwater control, as well as having a very extensive water quality monitoring program. Groundwork Cincinnati has focused on working in the neighborhoods in the lower Mill Creek, and they've come at it more from an environmental education aspect. They have an enormous environmental education program where we work with over 1,000 kids a year, mostly from the Cincinnati Public Schools. We have a green workforce development program that has two phases, the Green Team and the Green Corps, as well as developing bike trail and working with various community councils on capacity building. So the two groups have done fantastic work, but they really have come at it from different angles, so that now that we're together as the Mill Creek Alliance, it's not a case where we're going to have to make hard choices about which programs to continue. They're very complementary. We're not going to cut anything. We're going to continue all the programs, keeping all of our staff, and we think it just makes us stronger and able to speak for the entire watershed with one strong voice.
For these various projects that go on, and Steve, why don't we start with you, where does the funding come from? Because a lot of this, there was a lot of money invested by the various agencies and groups that created some of the problems that we have now. Some of these things take a lot of money and effort to fix. Where does project money come from?
Well, we've had to been really creative about that, right? When you're a small nonprofit that's trying to do huge things on this large watershed that we have, you have to look for resources all over the place. I mentioned some of those partners earlier, like MSD has been a great partner for this work. But also Ohio EPA has a lot of variety of sources of revenue for us. There's a program, a 319 program, you know, mumbo jumbo that you don't need to know the details of. But it's really been a great resource to do some of these big projects. Like I said about that wetland project at Twin Creeks Preserve, this is a multiple acre wetland that we've been able to do. Thousands of linear.
Any idea what the price tag on that was?
So that was in the millions, I believe, on that one. And then we have recently done one down in Hartwell along Buyer Steel property, which, again, was close to 2,000 linear feet, almost half a mile of creek frontage that was, 4,000, see? Dave's keeping me honest here. I was trying to be modest. you know, so looking to almost toward a mile of creek. And so there's a Clean Ohio Green Space Fund that also is out there that we've been able to tap to do things like invasives removal, so getting rid of all that honeysuckle that's everywhere. And so it is a variety of sources, but I think at the end of the day, it's that the localities care about it too. The city of Cincinnati has been a great partner mm-hmm. in this work, and the localities up in the north part of the creek, Evendale, Sharonville, places that are impacted by that creek.
Are you concerned that the current federal administration has pulling back on water quality regulations and ultimately on funding? Is this something that's going to flow through some of these funding sources that we were just talking about?
It's certainly something that we're keeping a close eye on, Dan. To date, I would say, knock on wood, we seem to be in good shape. Some of the engineering projects that we do are funded by what are called 319 funds. Those are monies that do originate with the federal government and then are funneled down through the state, and the state decides how to distribute them. We're certainly keeping a close eye on those to make sure that those continue, but they have pretty broad bipartisan support, so we're guardedly optimistic about that. Okay. I would also note among our other funders that Groundwork USA, which is sort of the parent of Groundwork Cincinnati, has provided a lot of funding over the years, particularly for the Green Team and Green Corps, as well as the environmental education programs that we do. And you know, as a member of the Groundwork Network, that will also continue.
Yeah, these diversity of sources is something that I think this alliance really gives power to, that it's not just about state resources or federal resources or local resources. It's all of them together. So if one gets a little trouble, like you're saying, maybe at the federal level, I think we have other places where we can rely on resources.
One of the really critical issues in the whole stream is the combined sewer overflows, which people, CSOs, which people may not appreciate. Now, because I got involved in the Lick Run project and asked to chair some of the public meetings, I had to learn a lot about combined sewer overflows and even took my wife to CSO number 5 on our anniversary.
Oh, no.
You know how to live, Dad.
I just, you know, it's just endless what I can think of. But explain to people what CSOs are and why they need to be eliminated and what's happening to move this forward.
Yeah, they were the best technology back in the 19th century when people had outhouses and things like that still, and you wanted to get rid of that away from your property. So they built these big sewers, sometimes burying entire creeks. That's what Lick Run is, right? I mean,
right.
They took a creek and just encapsulated it. And at the time, that was the thing to do, and use the rainwater to actually flush all that sewage away. So now we're trying to have 21st century technology and to actually have that separated as it should be, so we're able to treat the sewage before it gets into our rivers.
And be able to get that sewage to the treatment plant.
Exactly.
And not have it flow into the Mill Creek, because if that happens, it becomes even more expensive to deal with, and some of it's going to go downstream into the Ohio.
Well, right. And it really degrades the environment for the people who live around it, too.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
Right. And in terms of where it's going, you know, obviously the goal of everyone is to replace the CSOs as soon as possible. But it's a tremendously expensive project and would be impossible for MSD or the city of Cincinnati or any similar sized city to do all in one go. I mean, we're talking about billions of dollars. So the MSD and partners are doing a very good job of addressing it as quickly as they can, but it is, a 20-year process. We are making good progress on it. The water quality is showing that. But that said, there's still a good distance to travel.
Well, that's one of the things, though, for people when they hear about how expensive these projects for MSD are, if they don't understand what the issue is, it's hard to imagine how you justify to the ordinary person who's just paying the bill. They don't get it. But in the long term, this is an investment. This is another infrastructure sort of thing that we're trying to update from 19th century infrastructure to 21st century infrastructure.
Sure. And I think why we're doing that, we want to be smart about it. This idea of green infrastructure and holding back some of that water, because even once we do separation, even then, we still have the flooding problem to deal with. So I think why we're spending this money and why we're engaging the community and why we're trying to think about jobs and recreation and all the things that we do at the Mill Creek Alliance, this is a great opportunity to work with those partners to get it done.
How is the Lick Run project doing at this point? And are you tied into that? Or are you in communications with that whole project? Because it's a pretty daring project.
It is, and we've had some small wins on that. I think there was is it Roberts Elementary that's in
yes.
there in Price Hill that the Watershed Council had done a project up there again, to test some of this green infrastructure idea and to actually see it in practice. So we've had a hand in that, but this is primarily an MSD project that I think is along the right pathway, right? I mean, if we can keep CSOs from being in the creek, that's more days that we can use the creek. That's a healthier creek. All the aims that we're trying to get to with the Mill Creek Alliance.
And some of our contribution as an organization is there are many players doing these things. What we can do is bring that together and make sure that the community's voice is heard in the process and that projects don't get done from a narrow perspective of what they're trying to accomplish. You know, like the Army Corps of Engineers putting concrete all over the Mill Creek. That seemed like a good idea to them, but you know, we're going to be dealing with that for the next umpteen years because water wears down concrete.
Right. And to expand on what Pat just said, you know, I think one of our goals is to make sure that the communities themselves that are most impacted by this can also benefit from the work that's being done to address the CSOs and all of these green infrastructure projects. And that's a large part of what our environmental education and our Green Team and Green Corps workforce development programs are, is to make sure that the young people in our communities are positioned to take advantage of the huge number of green infrastructure jobs that are coming online in Greater Cincinnati.
We have a call from a listener. This is Bill, and Bill has a question that I think relates to what we've just been talking about. Bill, what's your question?
Actually, I had two questions. One was just spurred by what was just said. First one is, have you ever seen a situation where in the Mill Creek Valley where you've been able to get the Corps of Engineers to come in and remove some of the concrete banks that they've created, the channelization? That's the first question. And the second question is, in terms of getting money to eradicate invasive plants like the Amer honeysuckle and Euonymus and Lesser Celandine, you mentioned that you've gotten some money from the state, from the Green Space Conservation Grants. Have you ever gotten any money from MSD for that purpose?
Bill, thanks for calling. Your first question, no, to my knowledge, the Corps of Engineers has not come back in and removed any of the channelized sections that they put in decades ago. That would be nice if that would happen, but I don't think it's in the cards. When they discontinued the flood control project, they handed off ownership of all the properties and easements that they had to the Mill Creek Valley Conservancy District. So they really are not a player in the restoration of the Mill Creek at this time, other than the fact that they do have a large part in controlling the dam up at Winton Woods Lake, which does control flooding along the West Fork of the Mill Creek, and that is important. In regard to invasive species, that is part of every single project we have done up and down the watershed. You know, before we can do anything along the stream or to restore a wetland, we wind up removing a lot of invasive species. So we do get money from that from a variety of sources, state and federal funds, private donors, private foundations, but that is part of every single project that we do.
We're going to run out of time, so I want to ask you a question. If you could take somebody who doesn't know anything specifically about the Mill Creek and take them to a part of the creek or a part of the valley that show them something to say, here's what we're trying to do and here's what can be, here's what the future can be, where would you go?
Well, I would go to the Mill Creek Yacht Club. And I would go on one of their rides. You know, they'd take people out in canoes. You're going to be able to do that. Actually paddle on the Mill Creek. And what you will find is once you're down in that creek, you can't even tell the cities around you in many places. And it's quite lovely.
Especially the lower parts of the Mill Creek. And you begin to see some of the heron and some of the – and I tell you, I love that canoe on the lower Mill Creek when you get to the dam and you go through the dam out into the Ohio. I don't know. I know this is ridiculous, but it feels like you know, you're with Lewis and Clark and you've made the Pacific. You've just gotten to the Pacific. It just opens up in
front
of you.
Some people like that under the Western Hills Viaduct. They think that looks like almost like a cathedral or something, and you come under that.
So, Steve, where would you go?
Well, I think it's that section is the one that's most compelling to people because this is not going to be the Little Miami River, right? We're not going to be able to get it to that pristine condition that we have over there. But it's like over the Rhine. It's like that hidden gem that makes it uniquely Cincinnati. It's not something that New York's going to have. It's not going to, you know, we don't have to compete with all those other places. This is something that is uniquely Cincinnati, that is an urban adventure for people, that I think builds on our story, builds on what we can attract youth and millennials, you know, all that economic development story.
For me, if I had to pick one spot that I think most is symbolic of the Alliance, I would pick the vicinity of Solway Park, where we just had our signing ceremony. Both organizations have done significant work there. Groundwork Cincinnati built and maintains the bike trail and has done a couple of other installations, Freedom Tree and Laughing Brook along the trail there. Just this fall, the Watershed Council completed work in the stream to mitigate two lowhead dams that were blocking fish passage. They put in two beautiful riffles that are now serving to allow fish and other creatures to go up the stream, as well as providing additional habitat. And it's that coming together of all of those parts that is what is going to make the Alliance special and allow us to continue to do this work for the whole watershed.
Well, thank all of you for being here today. Thank you for the work you're doing in the community. And good luck with this new merged organization to drive the future of the Mill Creek into a positive direction. I want to thank my guest for today, Dave Schmidt, the executive director, Steve Johns, the board chair, and Dr. Patricia O'Connor, the vice chair of the newly organized Mill Creek Alliance.
Thanks for listening to this podcast of Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer for today's show is Pete Reitmeier. The assistant producer is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. Archives of our programs are available on the website wvxu.org. I'm Dan Hurley.